immediately, straight away, euthus, statim, stat. Last week we saw that the Gospel of Mark is the story of urgency. The urgency of the mission of the Lord Jesus to announce the kingdom of God and call the human race to conversion and saving faith, and the urgency with which we must respond to that call. Christ appeared at the beginning of his public ministry with a clarion call to conversion. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Then Mark tells us that when he called the first four of his 12 apostles, immediately they left everything to follow him. He then went to the synagogue in Capernaum to proclaim the good news of salvation, and those who heard him teach were pierced to their heart. Their lives were changed by the authority of his word. To confirm the authority of his word, he reveals his mastery over nature. He heals the sick and casts out the forces of darkness. Then last Sunday, in a beautiful scene of domesticity, he goes home with Peter to find that his mother-in-law is sick with a fever. He touches her, and immediately she is healed. And now we see the same pattern again. A man with leprosy comes to the Lord Jesus for healing. The simple fact that the leper approached Christ is in itself remarkable. Such a thing was forbidden by the law of Moses. We heard that in the first lesson from the book of Leviticus. Leprosy was not simply a horrific disease that condemned the leper to live in a dying body. It also excluded the leper from the fellowship of everyone else. This may seem cruel to us who take public health for granted, but then it was simply a measure of survival to prevent the disease from spreading. But what began as a measure of public health gradually became something worse. Exclusion from the community to keep the disease from spreading turned into the inability of the leper to worship God. To be unclean was not simply to be physically sick, it was to be cut off from the life of grace. Why? Because we can worship the one true God only in fellowship with others. And so this leper comes to Jesus and kneels at his feet. A gesture of homage, of humility, a recognition that he, the leper, is helpless, and he begs him. If you wish, you can make me clean. Mark does not tell us who this leper is or how he came to know that Jesus of Nazareth could cure him and not only remove the disease of his body, but restore him to the fellowship of Israel and to the worship of God. Perhaps the leper heard from the people who had observed the earlier miracles of Jesus. Perhaps he heard from those who were there in the synagogue and were changed by the preaching of Christ. Whatever the case, by some means, through someone else's witness, the leper has come to believe Jesus can heal him, cure him, restore him. Mark tells us that Jesus was moved with pity. And then this little detail is the heart of the story. Jesus didn't simply say, "Be healed." He touched him. He reached out and touched him. Thus, under normal circumstances, rendering himself unclean, to touch a leper was as bad as having the disease. But here, in the person of the Son of Mary, is the one who is the author of life, the source of all holiness, and the only hope of those who have been made unclean, not just by diseases of the body, but by the corruption of the heart. I do will it. Be made clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. In the 2 millennia since that extraordinary encounter in Galilee, medical science has given us great mastery over the natural world. The diseases of the body, from day to day, we no longer fear. Of course, we haven't conquered all. There's still much to do. But we have confidence in our ability to conquer nature, to extend life. And so the existential dread of disease no longer grips the human race, at least in the developed world, as it did then and there. But you see, the physical leprosy of the body is not the only thing involved in this tale. It is the corruption of the heart that alienates us from God and from others. It is the inturning of the sinner on himself which makes us unclean spiritually and makes it impossible for us to worship, which is the only place in which we find knowledge of our dignity and destiny, because we separate ourselves from all others in sin. The problem is this: we're not afraid of sin. We might be afraid of sin in someone else, particularly if their sin leads to violence that afflicts us. But honestly, day to day, in and out, throughout our lives, we're just not afraid of sin. It doesn't terrify us. We might wish that we were better looking, healthier physically, even wealthier. But how many of us think about the shape of our souls as much as the shape of our bodies? To be without sin, to be full of grace. This is one of the reasons why we live in a time of unbelief. It's hard to know exactly, but it seems likely that about 1,200,000,000 people on this planet have been baptized into the life of grace in the Catholic Church, and another 800,000,000, 900,000,000, maybe another 1,000,000,000 souls baptized into Christ outside the Catholic Church. So over 2 billion Christians, if we count all the baptized as Christians. And yet we know that only a small portion of the baptized live as though their baptism means anything. They have not been changed by their encounter with the Lord Jesus in the sacrament of holy baptism, at least not in the way this leper was changed. Thinking just of the Catholics, leaving aside the Protestants and the Orthodox, just the Catholics. In the developed world, it's slightly different in Africa, South America, even Oceania. But in the developed world, depending on the country or the region of the country in question, on any given Sunday, somewhere between 5% and 25% of the baptized Catholics go to Mass. Somewhere between 5% and 25% of baptized Catholics today in the developed world go to Sunday Mass. The rest? No. Why? Well, if we ask them, and pollsters regularly do, they'll give many reasons. And they may actually believe the reasons they give. But they're not the real reasons. The real reason is this. They have never made a decision for Jesus Christ. The baptized who will not come to Mass have never made a decision for Jesus Christ. This is not a phrase that Catholics often hear in church. It's a form of discourse we normally attach to Protestantism, indeed a specific kind of Protestantism. As that is used by some Protestants, there are theological problems with it. They conceive of Christian faith and life as beginning in an individual person only when he or she makes a decision for Christ. It's that that makes one a Christian, in fact. I realize that I am a sinner, and that unless I find a path to freedom from sin, my death will be everlasting. And I cannot find this on my own. I can receive it only from God, who in Christ is here to reconcile man to God. And so when I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, in the moment of that decision, I am freed from sin and regenerated. The Catholic faith does not accept that construal of Christianity. The life of grace begins in us in holy baptism. It is Christ who cleanses us through the sacrament of rebirth by water and the Holy Spirit. But there is a legitimate sense in which, in order to come to Christ and receive his grace and then live faithfully for the rest of our lives according to the life of the new creation, yes, we must make a decision for Christ. That's what the leper is doing. He comes to Christ on his own, but not alone. Someone else told him to go. Someone else told him what Christ could do for him. He understands he cannot save himself, and so he comes to Christ. How? Kneeling and begging. With humility, with reverence, with awe. In the fear of God, he comes to offer himself with a plea. If you wish, you can make me clean. Until we're prepared to do that, make a decision for Christ, acknowledge that we are unclean in our sins, and that to live according to our dignity and destiny, we must come to Christ in humility and faith and reverence. Until we're prepared to do that, then we live in the condition of the baptized pagan. Someone who was brought to the font, perhaps by their parents, who was given the gift of the new life of grace, and then for whatever reason, wandered off, walked away, never made a decision for Christ. Because you see, making that decision requires that we be willing to let go, to surrender, to acknowledge, I am not sovereign in my own life. This, however, is at the very heart of modernity, the assertion that not only can I be sovereign in my own life, I must be sovereign in my own life, to be authentically human and free. And this means rejecting the sovereignty of all others. My husband or wife, my children and friends, my colleagues and neighbors, and even God himself. Well, being sovereign in our own lives is a sure path to a leper colony, to live in isolation from everyone else. Unclean. After Jesus cured the leper, he gave him this instruction: go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. He's restoring him to right worship. He's making it possible for the leper once again to come before the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to worship in the midst of God's people. My friends, we are not baptized to escape hell. We're baptized so that we can come to Mass and be nourished with the body and blood of the Savior. And it is that which is the medicine of immortality. It is our participation in the Eucharist, which is the gift of eternal life. Catholics who bring their children to the font to be baptized without any plan of ever bringing them back are doing them no favors. None. There must be a decision for Christ, a decision that flows from the recognition that I cannot save myself, and Christ can. In fact, only Christ can. And having been made clean in the waters of baptism, I come and fulfill the normal prescripts of worship, like the leper going to the priest to offer the sacrifice prescribed by Moses. We come here to offer the sacrifice of Calvary, the broken body and outpoured blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, after acknowledging our sinfulness and receiving his mercy, we are nourished unto everlasting life. Finally, Mark tells us that the man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad. He told everybody he saw. Once we understand what's at stake here, we have to do the same. If we have been made clean after having made a decision for Christ, if we come here to be nourished unto everlasting life by his body and blood, then when we leave here, we have to spread the word abroad. We have to tell everybody. And more than that, we have to do it immediately, straight away, stat.